Good morning.
Morning.
Great to see everybody this morning, especially to see those who are guests with us for the first time today. And we hope that you'll be blessed by having been with us. I know that we are blessed by having you here with us, and pray that that you'll just feel God's love through his people here. And I appreciate David's comments earlier about the family here. And speaking of the heart of the Brooks Avenue family, I have a letter I would like to share with you. This is the second letter from our brother, Ed Woods. Many of you who were here a few months ago when I read his first letter may have a vivid recollection of that time of worship. He shared with us at that time his diagnosis with liver disease and his need for a liver transplant. And with everything else that was going on at the time, we just simply turned our worship into a prayer service that day for a lot of folks who were hurting and a lot of folks who had needs and who were grieving. This is Ed's second letter to the family here at Brooks Avenue. To the saints assembled at Brooks Avenue, I cannot express how good it feels to be here with you today. It has been a little over 2 months since I underwent a liver transplant, and all of you have overwhelmed Nancy and me with your support and generosity through all of this. We wanted to thank you for all of the meals, the gifts, and visits. Your generosity has gone so much above what we would have ever hoped for. We also thank you for all the Get Well cards and cards of encouragement. They came from the Encouragement Card Ministry, individuals, families, and also the special needs class. We are especially grateful for your constant and heartfelt petitions to our Father on Nancy's and my behalf. I continue to request your prayers as I continue to recover. We could see God's hands at work throughout this process, starting when the doctors told me I needed a new liver until now. There was no other way this could have come about, and perhaps we can share this with you sometime, and your faith may be strengthened. Our God is so good. He is our refuge and fortress in our times of need and weakness. He is faithful always and has listened to our prayers, and he has answered. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. To God be the glory, the power, and praise forever and ever. Blessed be his name. Ed and Nancy Woods. I'd like to ask you to pray with me. Our Father, Almighty God, a few months ago, our hearts were just so overwhelmed with a sense of brokenness and sorrow and grief, not only over the letter that Ed shared with us at that time, but there were so many who were hurting at that particular time. And we are thankful that you are a God to whom we can bring all of our brokenness, all of our hurt, our pains, our sufferings, our questions. And now we come before you again, Father, but this time to give thanks and to praise your great and holy name. Father, we thank you for what has happened in Ed's life. We thank you for all of the unforeseen and remarkable things that happened that have brought him to this moment. And so grateful that he can be with us in worship again. And we thank you for sustaining his sweet wife and our dear sister Nancy through all of this. And Father, all we can say, along with our brother Ed, is to you be the glory, the power, and the praise forever and ever. Blessed be your name, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'd like to ask you to open your Bibles or your apps to Mark chapter 1. We're going to be focusing on verses 14 and 15 this morning, but I would like to begin reading at verse 1. Mark chapter 1. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. And John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my Son whom I love. With you I am well pleased. At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert 40 days being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals and angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Now, from the get-go, Mark creates the sense that the game is afoot, as Sherlock Holmes would say. No birth story. No genealogies. He began simply with the announcement, jumping right into the action, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so there is from the beginning a sense of urgency about Mark's gospel story about Jesus, an urgency that he means for his readers and hearers to understand, and not only to understand, but to respond to. The gospel is news, but not just news. The gospel is good news. The good news is that with the coming of Jesus Christ, God would be doing a new thing. Things were about to change, and the world would never be the same again. And that sense of urgency is heightened by Mark's way of marking time with the reference to the ministry of John the Baptist. His ministry prepared for the coming of someone and something that would change everything. The someone is Jesus, the Son of God, who submitted himself to the baptism of John. And as Jesus went down into that water, he saw the heavens being ripped apart and making its way through that opening now between earth and heaven was the Holy Spirit descending upon Jesus, acknowledging his witness to Jesus as the Son of God in the form of a dove. And there was a voice. He heard a voice that declared, you are my Son, whom I love. With you I'm well pleased. And Jesus, the Son of God, the sinless one, identified himself with sinful humanity as a witness to the righteousness of God in that baptism. And we would expect a bit of a pause there to appreciate what's just happened, right? Little elaboration, perhaps, on what all of this meant, but that is not Mark's style. From there, Mark's gospel story moves quickly into the wilderness, very brief description. And there Jesus is tempted, which we might understand as a time of testing and preparation for his ministry. And there in the wilderness, Jesus encountered the prince of evil who ruled the world, and with Jesus' own faithfulness in the face of temptation and danger, he served notice to the prince that his reign was soon to be over because the king had come. And then we come to another important time marker in verse 14, as Mark notes. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The imprisonment of John led to the end of John's important ministry, and it adds to the sense of drama that something bigger and that something even more significant is on the horizon. In fact, in Luke chapter 16, verse 16, we hear Jesus say, "The law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. Since that time, the good news of the kingdom of God is being preached." So with John's ministry and with John's imprisonment comes the end of one stage of history, and now Jesus and the kingdom gospel take the center stage of history. Now, at this point, we need to put the brakes on a little bit. One of the characteristics of Mark's gospel is that he moves quickly. There's a reason that Mark is known as the action gospel. No moss grows under his feet. He moves quickly. There's this, just a scarcity of details, and the details that he provides are simply to support a deeper and greater meaning as John tells the story of Jesus. So everything has been moving quickly with purpose and meaning, but now we need to slow down just a little bit and listen carefully to what comes next, because this is what Mark has been building up to in these opening verses of his story. Jesus went into Galilee, he says, preaching the good news, the gospel of God. That is, the good news that finds its source in God and that comes from God. And the good news is all about what God has done and would be doing in his Son, Jesus Christ. It was the good news about the fulfillment of all of God's promises and plans in Jesus Christ. And Jesus' preaching began with this attention grabber: the time has come. Listen. What time? What time are you talking about, Jesus? Now, there are two words for time that Mark could have used here. One is a word which speaks to chronological time. It's the word chronos, as in the time for worship is 10:30. Don't be late. The other word is kairos, which refers to the right or critical time, the opportune time, the opportune moment for decision or action. So, which do you think is the word that Mark uses? Chronos, kairos, the opportune time. Which is it? Kairos, you are scholars, one and all. Yes, critical time, right time, the opportune time for decision and action. So Jesus is saying the right time, the critical time in history has come. But the critical time for what? The opportune time for what? Jesus answers with this. The kingdom of God is near. The kingdom is the rule and the reign of God as His will is done in the world, as His will is done among His people. As Jesus prayed on another occasion, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God is the presence of a new order in the world, a new way of being and living in relationship to God and to one another. It is actually an alternate reality to what our experience is in the world. It's the presence of a community of righteousness in the midst of a world that has gone so wrong and become so broken. The time for God to launch His kingdom has come, and all of history had been leading up to this moment. And in the ministry of Jesus, it has arrived. And this kingdom, this new world order, is near now. The idea is not that it's almost here, but it's still a way off, still has to be waited for a while, but rather the idea is that the kingdom is so close to the hearers of Jesus, that they may enter it at that very moment. And the very announcement of a kingdom, which implies a king, calls for a response. It contains the implicit demand for submission and surrender to the will of God. And this is where you and I enter the story. The response to the preaching of the kingdom of God and its nearness involves two things, Jesus says. First, repent. Repent. Now, the usual way of defining repentance is that it is a change of mind. Well, it is that, but it's more than just that. It's a change of mind that implies a corresponding change in behavior, in the way that we live, in the direction that our lives are going. So Jesus calls His hearers to turn around, to shift the direction and the orientation of their lives. As the Apostle Paul would put it in a letter to the believers in Rome, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Repentance means that we decide to radically, to fundamentally reorient our lives and align our lives and everything about our lives around the ways and the values of Jesus Christ. It is to wake up and to turn around and to go the way that Jesus is going. The second response is to believe the good news. Believe, as it's used in Scripture, is more than just simply acknowledging the factualness of something. It's more than just simply acknowledging, all right, Jesus is the Son of God. Rather, belief is also action. Belief is not merely passive. Belief embraces a willingness to follow and to obey what we believe. It's the idea of submission to a will higher than our own. To believe the good news is to surrender to the will, to the rule, and the control of God. Our money, our relationships, our work, our time, our gifts, our whole lives come under the rule of Jesus as Lord. To believe is to value what Jesus values. It's to disdain what Jesus disdains. It is to love what and who Jesus loves, the way that he loves. As Douglas Hoglan writes, quote, belief is not just something you have up here in your head or here in your heart. It is something you do out here with your hands, down here with your feet, and out there in the world. Belief means you put your life in his hands and say, King Jesus, I don't know where you're leading, but wherever it is, I'm going to follow you. I trust you. End quote. To believe is to pledge my allegiance to Jesus Christ and his kingdom and no other. And this is where you and I continue to find our place in this gospel story. As followers of Jesus, the message that you and I have to proclaim and to embody today is the same message that Jesus proclaimed. The kingdom of God is near. It's near to everybody. Today, as much as ever, people need to know that this kingdom exists, that this kingdom is real, that this kingdom is available, that this kingdom is here and that is right outside their door. Don't be so easily satisfied with the empty offerings of this world. Something better is available, you see. The world is such a broken place. People need to hear the message that a different reality is here, and we don't want to miss it. People need to hear the good news of what God is doing in Jesus Christ. Our calling, you see, and our place in this story is to give people a vision of what things can be like when God is allowed to rule and life is lived in the way of Christ. The kingdom of God is at hand, and it confronts us with a moment of critical decision. Repent and believe the good news. Now, some of us, I have no doubt, are thinking at this moment, that's right, man, there are some folks who need to hear that message. There are folks that need that message. Repent and believe the good news. And that's right. People who have not yet made their way into the kingdom of God. But let me remind the rest of us, those of us who have made that decision, that every day we, as followers of Jesus Christ, are called upon on this day and tomorrow when we wake up and the day after that to repent. To be sure that our lives are reoriented around the way of Jesus. And that we are walking indeed in the direction of Jesus. And we are called to believe. To believe with our hands, with our feet, with our mouths, with our hearts. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe. And believe not just anything, but the good news that in God, rather than in Jesus, God is making all things new. And if that is what you're looking for, if that's what you need today, we would welcome you, whatever your spiritual need might be. Two of our shepherds will be here down front to welcome you. If you want to turn your life around and start moving in the direction of Jesus and become a part of his kingdom. I said earlier that this world is such a broken place. And right now, if you're feeling some of that brokenness, if you're feeling some of the very things that David was describing earlier before his prayer at the beginning of our service, there are other folks as well who will be here all around this building to pray with you and to pray for you. Please feel free to join one of those groups and share your burden with them. If you just need a word of encouragement, please feel free to reach out to them. Whatever your need is, God has provided for it in Jesus Christ. Let's stand and sing together.